prepare to broadcast worldwide.
You've discovered TalkZone.com.
TalkZone.com.
This is the Travelin' On Radio Show, bringing you a world of travel news and information. Once again, let's join your hosts, Ian and Tanya Fitzpatrick.
And welcome back to the Traveling On Radio Show. Ian and Tanya Fitzpatrick here along with Charles Cobb as we talk about On the Road to Freedom, a guided tour of the Civil Rights Trail. We're also enjoying some music from Putumayo's newest release, African Reggae. You can win great music and other great prizes like books. Right now we're currently giving away Immersion Travel USA. You can win by playing Travel and Trivia at www.travelin-on.com. You can also sign up to become a member of our Travel and Club. Get a wonderful newsletter that comes out twice a month. Get the latest travel specials and relevant travel news. Charlie, as we were going to break, we had a chance to kind of talk about the book and talk about kind of the connection between the people and the places that you chronicle in the book. And so many of the places that are along the Civil Rights Trail are important, not because of what's standing there today, but because of what happened there. And in so many instances, some of these towns in the Deep South, time really has passed them by, where there's only a historical marker to kind of mark what's there. And in some instances, there's no marker at all, because some of these places just want to forget about what happened there. Why do you think it's important to really bring these places alive through the stories that you tell in this book?
Because partly, I think what the civil rights movement demonstrates is the strength of ordinary people to make change. And understanding that is as relevant today as it was 40-some-odd years ago. You know, take Atlanta, where the student movement in Atlanta, through their activities, I argue in the book, resulted in the election of John F. Kennedy as president. And I tell that story in the book. And over and over and over again, when you go to these places, you see, you know, how ordinary they were. These are working people, or they're sharecroppers, maids and cooks and day workers. And you get a sense that, you know, you don't have to be a big shot. You don't have to be a Martin Luther King to influence society. That's a big lesson that comes out of the civil rights movement. And I think going to various places, even if they're not marked or even if they're not well marked, because, you know, as a writer in doing the book, I had to make some hard choices. And if there are many places I don't mention in the book because they're not marked, you know, and because this is a travel book, you know, I try and steer people to places that are not only significant and perhaps not well known, but are also marked. The South is just beginning to recognize that there's some value in marking many of these sites.
Yeah, and you know, in our next half hour, you know, we're going to speak to two individuals who, one is a former NAACP attorney that I used to work with, and another gentleman is an assistant professor up in Massachusetts. And they individually took separate journeys along the Civil Rights Trail through Alabama, Mississippi, and parts of Louisiana, just to experience it for themselves. And one of the things in talking to one of the individuals that I heard about is that Emmett Till, the marker there for him was very tiny, but recently I heard on the news that somebody had defaced or removed the marker. And I heard that also, I think, about James Meredith. There was another marker. But you know, and I find that extraordinary during this time when the country feels to be, you know, to me as a younger person, progressing. I find that extraordinary that people are destroying very important history.
Well, I don't think it's a large number of people, but it's true. If you go, for instance, the Selma to Montgomery march was triggered by the murder of Jimmie Lee Jackson, who was killed within the context of a voting rights drive in not in Selma, Alabama, but in Marion, Alabama, which is not far away. And if you go to his gravesite, which is marked, and you'll see that the headstone is pocked with rifle fire.
Unbelievable.
Same thing for James Chaney, who along with Michael Schwerner and Andrew Goodman were killed in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Again, James, or J.E. as we used to call it, his headstone is pocked from gunshot. So, yeah, I mean, any individual, you know, who is hostile to civil rights can fairly easily shoot up a place, you know, in the middle of the night. You know, you can't post a 24-hour guard. I don't know what that tells you about the country. It just tells you that there are violent racists still out there.
Yeah, there's still holdouts. And, in fact, my father, who may be listening, just shared a story I hadn't heard about. David Duke apparently accused Michael Steele of being a black racist. That's a whole nother segment. But
I mean, there are always going to be people like that. I mean,
right.
You know, they're just out there. You know, I don't deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, they're out there.
Yeah, Charlie, as we've had this discussion about the historical markers and clearly the part that the part of the civil rights movement that I think leaves the strongest images are those violent images, the confrontations that took place between the Bull Connors and protesters or some of the violence that we've known to be demonstrated, whether it was in the assassination of Dr. King or Emmett Till. And your book takes us to a lot of these places, the Alabamas and Mississippi, where the violence in many ways was astounding. What do you think we can actually learn about what the movement had to go through by visiting some of these places in Alabama and Mississippi?
Well, to know the story of people in places where there was a lot of violence, like Birmingham, Alabama, or the Mississippi Delta, or Central Alabama, where Selma is, and whatnot, is to really learn, again, about the strength of ordinary people. That's what you learn in these. I mean, I know in this early part of the 21st century, I suppose the 1950s and 1960s seems very distant, and it's hard to imagine the level of violence that existed in these places when it came to civil rights issues. And it's even harder to imagine that these ordinary people that range from school teachers to sharecroppers could stand up to it. That's what you learn. Which seems to me to be as important now as it was then.
Charlie, you know, as a civil rights activist, former civil rights activist, you actually, by researching this book, writing this book, you revisited a lot of the events that took place, the events that you participated in. What are some of the powerful images and feelings that stirred inside of you as you actually penned this book?
Well, you know, a lot of traveling for this book was catching up with old friends who came out of the movement and really sitting down to talk with them about movement days. You know, it's funny, within the heat of struggle, so to speak, you don't really engage people in lengthy conversation. Well, how did you get involved? And a lot of my conversation and research for this book was just that. And I was a little bit surprised to discover how almost all of us sort of accidentally stumbled into the movement. It wasn't like we had some kind of master plan. We just got caught up in the times. And all of a sudden, I mean, when the first time I got arrested, I went to just look at what a picket line would be like. And before I knew it, I was inside a restaurant, sitting in, refusing to leave, and off to jail. And a lot of stories are like that. And then there are a lot of personal emotions that came to play, you know, to visit the, for me, I was with Fannie Lou Hamer the first time she tried to register to vote. I helped her get settled after she got kicked off the plantation for trying to register to vote. And I know that Mrs. Hamer died far too early from a vicious beating she got in Winona, Mississippi, in the jail there. I knew James Chaney and Michael Schwerner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to go to Philadelphia, Mississippi, I've got, especially in Philadelphia, and I think I put it in the book, you know, I said it's a little kind of weird. I mean, I'm there and I'm thinking about James and I'm thinking about Mickey. I didn't know Andy Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got in my hand a brochure I picked up at the county courthouse, which is like the Neshoba County African American Heritage Driving Tool. And so it's a county produced brochure. And,
yeah.
And even though it takes people to where I would steer them, I'm thinking, holding this thing, well, I said, it was the county that got these guys killed in the first place.
Yeah.
Sheriff and deputy sheriff. So I have these mixed emotions, particularly in places where there was a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I know what it costs communities, and I know, you know, I know what it costs individuals. There's a whole, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about death and blood and all of that, but that's a part of it.
Yeah. Charlie, in our closing minutes with you, I want to get a sense as to what you've heard about the impact of your book in terms of any renewed interest in touring civil rights sites and encouraging heritage travel for families and groups and individuals.
Well, the American Travel Association told me, one, there's been a steady increase in interest in heritage tourism, particularly tourism related to black heritage. You know, that's why Selma, you know, now publishes black travel guides, if you will, brochures and whatnot. There's a steady increase interest in this. That's why the South is beginning to mark these sites. And you're seeing, you know, the development of museums related to civil rights. There's a steady accelerating growth. Partly some schools are pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
As well, and it hasn't peaked yet is the only thing I can say, but it's noticeable in many places. I guess a certain amount of time has to pass before people feel comfortable, if you will, looking back
mm-hmm.
at a difficult past. There's a growing interest, you know, around slavery, for instance, which is sort of outside the parameters of my book.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's a growing interest in people, you know, approaching and thinking through that whole horrible history
mm-hmm.
in the United States. And also, I mean, when you do take the civil rights tour, for all of the violence and all of the murders, if you will, I mean, there's a lot of heroism.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So people like to, you know, people like that, especially black people who don't have enough heroes, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you are among a group of people that we're actually going to have the pleasure of interviewing throughout this month, who are setting the record straight so that we can have an accurate history lesson today and provide that to those that are coming after us, the young folks. Charlie Cobb, author of On the Road to Freedom, A Guided Tour of the Civil Rights Trail, we thank you for joining us today and looking forward to talking to you again and meeting you when you come back to D.C. after your lessons are over up there at Brown University. Thank you very much for joining us today, Charlie. You're listening to the Traveling On Radio Show. We're your host, Ian and Tanya Fitzpatrick. And when we come back, we're going to talk to two individuals who actually took the time to travel along the Civil Rights Trail and just get an idea of their accounts,
indeed,
their personal accounts. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Every hour of every day, an American is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. MS typically strikes between the ages of 16 and 50 when people are building careers and raising families. Today, there is no known cause or cure for MS. To learn more about this unpredictable disease, to volunteer, or to make a contribution to this important mission, please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. You can make a difference by helping us stop this devastating disease. Please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS today. Thank you.
BronzeWorldTravel.com is your one-stop travel store where you can find the best travel values available at the most competitive prices. Whether you're booking a cruise, flight, car, or vacation package, they have so many great travel deals that you'll make them your first choice when it comes to travel. Visit them today at BronzeWorldTravel.com. You'll also find a link to BronzeWorldTravel.com on the Travelin' On website. BronzeWorldTravel.com, where they celebrate life through travel.